Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is International Black Summit Talk Show Network. My name is Glenn Greenwich, and we come to you live every Sunday from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're on the internet. You can catch us in blogtalkradio.com, or you can go to this National Black Summit's website, which is www.blacksummit.org. And on the home page, on the left-hand bottom corner, you can click right into the show, so you can get the show that way as well. We've got a chat room where you can just listen to the show. But certainly, if you want to call and talk, the conversation and the place to be is 46716-9827. That's our call-in number. Well, let's get it rolling today. We've got a great show on hand. We've got part two of the Organic Gardens, and we're also going to be looking at and having a conversation about spiritual gardens as well. So we're going to be looking at the relationship to spiritual gardens, organic gardens, and how both of those manifest our health, our well-being, and our ability to take care of ourselves, nurture and take care of ourselves. So without further ado, I'm going to open up Henrietta's mic, and Jerry, go ahead and give us the declaration.
Hi, good evening, my brothers and sisters. This is the declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except being. We assert that we are responsible for generating communities as possibilities and distinctions. We listen for and grant being to the possibilities and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murder of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our communities, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlantic, Georgia, October 7th, 1991, North, South, East, West, moments of silence, please. Thank you very much. Back at you, Glenn.
Thanks, Jerry. Hey, Henrietta, welcome to the call.
Hey. Hi, Glenn. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Henrietta.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Just walked in about eight minutes ago. So I'm, you know, right on time and ready for a great show tonight.
Okay. All right. Very good. Well, so far it's the three of us. And so I'm going to start off the conversation by saying, and letting people know, giving a recap of some of the conversations that we had last week. So last week we talked a little bit about growing your own garden. We talked about the benefits of the economic benefits. We talked about the nutritional value. We talked about the nurturing and working together as a community, sharing information, sharing perspectives. and really sharing the information around good health and well-being and taking care of ourselves. So, I mean, that's been the conversation that we were engaged in. We also looked at what kind of spaces you could put gardens in. We talked about how some cities are actually expanding. Specifically, New York City is allowing rooftop gardens to now be able to grow vegetables and to be able to resell that. So that's something that that's new and exciting for New York City, because we've got a lot of rooftop gardens, but they were restricted to shrubbery and to other things. So pretty exciting stuff. We also talked, just talked about wonderful recipes and reminiscing about what it was like to have some of our mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers' recipes and to bring them back. And the difference that it makes, especially with your creativity, when you're able to use ingredients out of the garden and specifically using herbs out of the garden to make your food taste and just jumping off of your palate. So anyway, so that's where we left the conversation off last week, and we wanted to start the conversation back up this week, really looking at preparing your garden for the future, for the winter, and also harvesting, because that's a huge part of your garden is harvesting. You begin to harvest, you know. So what does that mean? Harvesting really is a time, is a time of celebration when you look to really see and reap the benefits of the hard work that you've had all summer. You know, you planted, you weeded, and harvest time is the time when you get to really get the benefits of the fruit that's bearing. And life is like that a lot. You know, you work hard for a harvest, and you hope that the harvest is going to be bountiful and fruitful. But your conversations and your things that you're working on throughout the year, you're hoping to yield a harvest. So from a spiritual standpoint, you know, we do the meditation, we quiet the mind, we nurture and take care of our mind, our body, and our spirit, such that we can then begin to have the harvest of the manifestation of our vision and the things that we're committed to. So our spiritual mind and our garden, organic garden, are very, very similar in that there's steps that it takes to prepare them, to engage them, and to have them be fruitful. So we'll start the conversation off there. Anything you'd like to add to that, Henrietta or Jerry?
Well, I was kind of reflecting while you were speaking about, you know, like preparation. I was thinking about something that just occurred maybe 3 weeks ago, 3-4 weeks ago maybe. And I was wondering, was there a discussion about how much to use? You know, like the herbs and things that you discussed last week. When you have a dish or something, and you know how you put a pinch of this and a pinch of that in. And I was just wondering, I guess it's just trial and error that gives you that right, that like perfect combination of herbs and spices.
Right.
You know what? I remember growing up that you could, the key to, I noticed working in a restaurant, the key to most meals was always green pepper and onion.
Like, if you put green pepper and onion in things, it would taste good. But now,
well,
you know, with all these other herbs and spices, you know, it's like, is this something that's best for chicken or something that's best for fish or, you know.
Well, yeah, that's a good question. And, you know, of course, then I'd have to go to my culinary experience. And I would say that small leaf thyme, which is, you know, is great for most meats, but I love it especially with fish. There's something about small leaf thyme that combines with the flavoring. Now, we've got, you know, one of the things that people don't talk about that's very evident in this day and age is that we've now come into a designer crops, designer spices, designer. So you actually have lemon thyme. So it actually has a hint of lemon in it. And, of course, we use lemon with seafood all the time. So
mm-hmm.
you would think that this would be a perfect combination to add to your seafood line with this lemon thyme. So,
mm-hmm.
But thyme is very good for it's also it's all, you know, as well as seafood, it's also very good with chicken. Sage is also good with chicken. Although two or three weeks ago, I had a piece of salmon. And the salmon, I put some sage and some basil. And put that with some peppers and onions. And oh my goodness, I couldn't believe the flavor that came out. So, you know, you can do different things. The thing I was going to mention is that onions are one of the best antioxidants that you could use. And so onions are very important in our basic diet. And so anytime that you can add onions to any menu makes a huge difference. So, you know, that's, yeah. But basil is good with tomato sauce and pastas. But any kind of pastas that you're doing, when you're putting some meat in there, basil always brings out that flavor against the tomato. Like I said, sage is very good, and that works with chicken or fish. You know, what's the other one? There's a basil chicken is good. The Thai use a lot of basil. Basil and matter of fact, they use basil and coconut milk.
Mm-hmm.
So then they'll do their chicken and they'll do their fish with those kind of combinations. So it really. You know, and the other thing is that when you're using it fresh out the garden, you need less of it than you do. Because, you know, that powder,
yeah,
sometimes you have to put it in kind of thick. But, you know, I can put in one or two leaves of basil and thyme, you know, like maybe like a little branch of that. And you'd be amazed at how much flavor comes out.
Yeah.
I talked a little bit about it last week, and one of the things that that my aunt does is she takes her herbs and she pulls out a mortar. one of those wooden dishes with the mortar and crushes it together.
Oh yeah,
so
yeah.
So she'll put some onions and scallions, and she's got the big leaf thyme, and she's got big leaf and small leaf thyme. And she'll put all those herbs together and crunch them down and create a paste with it. And that paste she then uses to add to, you know, her various dishes. So, and that's something that you can do, and you can keep that in your fridge all winter, and you've got the fresh herbs from the garden that you can now use in your different, recipes. And that's something that, and of course, the longer they sit in that jar, the more potent that they become. Now, I wasn't even going to get into it, but one of the things that you can do is you can actually begin to prepare olive oil. So create a bottle with olive oil, and then you put one or two, depending on what it is, leaves and different things in the olive oil. And then, you know, you leave it in there for 2-3 weeks, and then you can take it out, and the olive oil will retain that essence of that sage or that oregano or, that thyme in it. And now you've got some super flavored oregano, which is really, and that's not something you can do very simply. And that, you know, that doesn't take a whole lot of work, but it brings out the flavor.
Yeah.
So it's really special. But there are a lot of different things that you can do. You can also dry herbs. You know, I was reading something where you could take a string and tie the peppers, and you put the peppers in clumps of three, and you tie it along the string, and you let the string hang and let it dry naturally. And then you use it when you want to. You can have your own dried peppers.
Mm-hmm.
Very easy to do. You'll see that in a lot of Latin restaurants and households. So they'll take the fresh peppers and hang it up. You know, and you do have to be mindful that when you do use it, just to make sure there's no mold on it and so forth. But, you know, you hang it in a nice dry place in the sun, and you really get a benefit. I mean, you know, sun-dried tomatoes. I mean, that's something that just is, you know, is incredible.
Does the drying, is there something about the drying that makes them more flavorful?
Well, they actually add a little salt to it, so you can actually dry it in the sun. Interestingly enough, when I looked up some recipes for it, you can actually dry it in your car because your car gets so hot when it's in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So what you would do is you put it in a pan in your car and let it cook for a couple hours in one hot day. Or you could do it in the oven for a couple hours. It's the same effect. You put a little salt on it, and it dries it. So the flavoring that you put with it in the dried tomato, for example, makes it more flavorful because now it's more than just tomato. You got the flavor, you got the little bit of the salt, and you've got, any other flavoring that you've added to it. But now, when you bite into it, you're tasting that as well as the other items that you're, you know, if you put it in a salad, or you put it in some kind of sauce, or you even cook some meat with it. So it does bring out the flavor, but the flavor is enhanced when it's dried in the drying process.
Okay. I was looking at that in relationship to preparing our spiritual garden. You know, I was thinking about that. I've been in this conversation for most of the week about denials and affirmations, you know, and denials and affirmations are like the tools that we use to clean our garden and our spiritual garden, or our consciousness, I should say. You know, those are the tools that we use to clean out our subconscious mind and then put into our subconscious mind the truth. You know, like the denials kind of help us get rid of, you know, it's like weeding out. You know, I don't know. I know we talked about this last year about certain times of the year you like get rid of the weeds in the garden. So I was just looking at these certain spices that are used for certain things, you know, certain meats or certain dishes, and you use those certain spices. And I was looking at the denials and affirmations. They're like there's four major denials that I use and affirmations also, but they. You kind of have to know which ones to use for what, you know, like okay. when you're feeling ignorant of something or that you need knowledge about something, there's this denial that says there's no absence of intelligence anywhere. And so you use that denial at that particular time and you say it until you start to feel empowered. And then once you realize that there is no absence of intelligence, you replace that thought that you had, God is omniscient, or the universe is omniscient. And all the knowledge there is, I have access to. You know, so it was, I know it's kind of a stretch from what we were talking about, but it's
not really. Because what
it really works. When I think about it, it really works because there's certain denials that I keep with me all the time. Like if I'm having a challenge with finances, I'll say, you know, the affirmation that I use is God is the source of my supply, or just God is the source, you know, for whatever it is. And if I happen to use a denial you use when that chatter is going on in your mind and you want to stop it and you don't want to give it power, so you deny the power that the chatter has, or that wrong thought or that error belief, you deny it. So I keep this denial with me that says there is no absence of intelligence, there is no absence of life anywhere. You know, that's a good denial when I find out that somebody has made their transition, you know, rather than to say death. I'll say there's no absence of life anywhere, you know, and I have to keep saying it sometimes, depending on how close I am to the situation. And then I'll say, as an affirmation, God is life, love, wisdom, power, substance. You know, there can be no absence of life because there can be no absence of God anywhere. Or for those people who don't use the word God, they may use divine mind, or universal oneness, or whatever it is that, you know, the absolute. Some people use the absolute. And so when we are preparing our spiritual garden, we have to know the right affirmations to use. Like, we have to know the right spices to use, you know, for those particular meals. Go on, I didn't hear you.
It's exactly like the tools in the garden. You
okay.
got to have your tools with you all the time.
Okay.
But sometimes I need a hoe. Sometimes I need a rake. Sometimes I need a pitchfork.
Okay.
Sometimes I need, you know, and so I have to know what tool I need. You know, because at certain points in time in the growth of the garden, I may need to weed. I may need to cut the plant back so that the harvest will be more bountiful. But I have to know I have to cut it before it begins to sprout or to bear or to blossom. So I have to understand that.
Yeah.
So understanding and knowing the tools and knowing when to apply the tools is absolutely essential to having an effective and bountiful garden that's going to be full of harvest. So with the spiritual mind, you've got to have your meditation. You've got to have your affirmations. You've got to have your thoughts that are replacing the negative thoughts. You know, in the garden, what do we do? If we have bad soil, we replace it.
That's right.
With good soil.
Mm-hmm.
So the mind is no different, because we're going to now replace those bad thoughts with good thoughts through affirmation, through meditation, through the different practices that we have, spiritual practices, to now influence our thinking consistent with what we want to produce for our harvest.
That's right. Okay. That's where I was coming from, exactly where I was coming from, you know. And it works, you know. It's controlling your thinking. You know, it's like controlling those thoughts that come to you. And then once you control those thoughts, then you take control of your feeling about it. You know, and you'll have to tell me how this works in the organic garden. But it's like, once you stop that chatter, you know, once you stop those thoughts that maybe you picked up from watching a movie or watching television or the statistics from the news or just listening to somebody else's conversation you may have overheard or you may have been a part of, you pick up these false evidence. You know, there's always evidence of this or evidence of that. And sometimes the evidence is just false. It's just an illusion. But it looks that way because that's what that consciousness is. And so as we prepare our spiritual garden, we must know what's false and what's true. You know, like I identify it as, like, we must know a plant from a weed. You know, we must know the difference in a plant and in a weed. Because there are many weeds that look like plants, and there are many plants, as you showed me, Glenn, that look like weeds.
Uh-huh.
So you have to identify what's in your subconscious mind. You know, that's where you store everything. That's where all your experiences are stored. That's where your memories are stored. You know, that's where your belief systems are, your traditions. They're all in your subconscious mind, which is what plays out in your life. It's not your conscious mind that plays out in your life. It's your subconscious mind that plays out in your life. It's like a tape recorder, and it replays those things that you think about. And so that's why it's so important that the things that you put into your subconscious mind or your spiritual garden are truth. not fact, but truth. And truth is something that cannot change. That's how I'm defining truth in this particular arena. It's something that's unchangeable. You know, it's like mathematics. But truth is
You bring up an interesting point, because the manifestation of thoughts is no different than the manifestation of grapes, of tomatoes, of the fruit and the vegetable that the garden bears. Now, one of the things that I can tell you that's very certain is that when you plant a seed, it is clear that its intention is to bear fruit.
Okay.
You know, to produce, to be able to reproduce itself through the vegetable or fruit that it will bear, and that fruit or vegetable would then replenish the population. So the plant is very clear about reproducing. We as human beings sometimes forget or are not in touch or allow life to separate us from our vision and our purpose. But we've got the opportunity to keep getting in touch with our vision and our purpose. And once we do that, it puts us back on track.
Okay.
So plants and gardens have the opportunity to produce, and what we have to do is to look to make sure that we nurture and take care of them such that they can get to their full purpose, their full potential. And when we look at spiritual awareness is about us as human beings reaching our full potential. You know, and their practices and things, just like their practices called watering the garden or weeding the garden, we talked about it last week. If it's too closely, too many plants in a small area, they'll get fungus. Now, the fungus is really a function of not enough space.
Mm.
So that if you don't have enough space to grow and to develop, then you wither. Our minds and our spiritual gardens are just like that as well.
Oh, well, now you know I'm going to use that one. That is going to be in my next lesson sermon. There's not enough space to grow, you create a fungus.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness. Now, that's true. That's what I'm talking about. That's true.
Exactly. 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 Because it needs a certain amount of space. It needs a certain amount of air flowing through it to circulate, to be vibrant. And if it doesn't get that and it's crowded, then it gets the fungus, and then it can't bear the fruit. The plant becomes unhealthy. The plant gets, and has the potential of dying. So what you do is you cut, so sometimes you sacrifice or transplant that to another area that it can flourish, that it has enough air, that it has enough sunlight, that it can get enough water, so that it's not, it's not in contention with anything else.
Mm.
Our lives are like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's take a station identification break here. This is a really interesting subject, and this is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and you are on with, our master gardener, Glenn Greenwich. I've been in church all day. I almost heard the Reverend Glenn Greenwich And Jerry. Jerry, who's being quiet back there today, and myself, Henrietta, I just wanted to remind everybody that the month of October is dedicated to the presidency. We are dedicating the entire month of October on the talk show to the presidency of the United States. We invite you to come and listen as we present information to you that we know will be life-changing, and it will help you in the conversations that you're in your community. Glenn has prepared information. Jerry has prepared information. Jill has information prepared. Jakesha, along with our new production team, Jaywa. We're working on the most wonderful October for our listeners so that we can be aware of what actually takes place in the White House, what the president actually has the power to do, what the president does not have the power to do. So please send emails to everyone and let them know every Sunday night at 7 p.m. Central Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, tune in to the International Black Summit talk show. And you know you can tune in via blogtalkradio.com, via blacksummit.org, via Facebook, or you can dial 646-716-9827. And you can even be in our chat room through blogtalkradio.com. So join us for the next 5 Sundays as we look into the presidency of the United States, and we give you the information that you need to be in communication with people in your community. Back to you, Glenn.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Henrietta. And we've got some listeners out there, and if you'd like to get on board, press one, and we'll bring you to the mic. But we're having a lovely and lively conversation about organic gardens and spiritual gardens and what is necessary to bring the bountiful harvest as a possibility. And so we've already talked about a couple things in terms of the tools. We talked about the tools that you need in your garden and the tools that you would need in your spiritual garden to be able to manifest the things and the thoughts that you want to create around your vision and your purpose here on the planet. And we talked a little bit about plants being very clear what their purpose is. Their purpose is to reproduce and to be able to produce, again, those bountiful fruits and vegetables for the next season. We've got a listener out there, 773-965. Do you like to add a comment? Or?
Absolutely. This is Lenar here. How you doing, Glenn?
Hey, what's up, Lenar? How you doing?
Well, I'm doing great. And I heard you talking about fungus among us. So, when you're not pruning, when you have too many thoughts and things going on, and not only is that true for gardens, but that's also true for trees. You know, we have an apple and pear orchard in a property in Indiana, and a lot of those blossoms, they grow very close together. So what you have to do, as soon as they begin to get those little buds on them, the fruit buds, you have to stop pruning. Otherwise, all your fruit will be very tiny. There are not enough nutrients to support all those blossoms. So, you can have, this was reminding me of when you're writing term papers and doing research and things. One of the things they tell you is you have to focus. You have to narrow your focus in order to get, to get your paper done, for one thing. but also to make your point, bring it down some, hone in on something. So I think this is very, very great. As in nature, so in life. Well, nature is life, isn't it?
Mm. Absolutely.
So that's all I wanted to share. I just wanted to say, you know, yep, I touch and agree on that, and it's true in other areas too.
Well, you know, the other thing, thank you, Lenar, the other thing that comes to mind also is that with especially with trees and some fruit bushes like blueberries and such, you also have to have the same kind of trees or different kinds of trees within that same, you know, be it apples or be it blueberries, so that you can cross-pollinate. So what that's saying to me from a spiritual standpoint is that you want to have like-minded people around you to support your growth. So, you know, you really can begin to see how the organic garden is really a match for the spiritual garden, and there's so many similarities because it's a system of things. You know, it's created, it's not a new thing, so we don't have to recreate it, but we have to just be able to recognize what's out there. Henrietta?
Amen.
Yeah, I was like right on that. I said, absolutely. You know, and surrounding, you know, like surrounding yourself with like-minded people, and sometimes it's challenging because people will say, God, all of these, I've been in places and people will say, you know, all of these intellectual people, all of these creative people, you know, it's like too much for certain people to be around that energy, you know, if they're unlike that. That they stepped into, that they, you know, they think they're unlike it. Anyway, but I mean, you know, you hear that. You know, this is too many intellectuals or too many, you know, and it's really not. It's like being of like mind, you know. And it's just, I just hear what you're saying. You know, I really do. I hear what you're saying.
You know, and when we go back to the conversation of cultivating. You know, so how do you produce the most harvest? Is that you give it the best ingredients. You give it as much sunlight as it needs. You give it as much manure. And so you've enriched the soil. You've given it as much water as it's supposed to have. So, you know, so that you begin to nurture and take care of the pieces such that the organic garden can produce that harvest. Well, it's the same thing with the spiritual garden. You want to give it the right kind of food, so that it's got the nourishment that it needs to think clearly, to function clearly, to clear out and work effectively. You know, but you also, and to stimulate it as well. So all of those things are part of what you want to be able to bring to your body so that your mind can think clear. You know, you've got enough water in your system. You know, all of the things that you would need. And you've got enough rest. You've got enough downtime. You've got enough maybe meditation or quiet time where you just are one with yourself, you know, and to allow your thoughts to just, you know, wash over you and relax and be calm, you know, and cultivate the spiritual harvest that you see for yourself. Be it your vision or your purpose. So I get excited in that conversation, to say the least.
I do too.
Yeah. We've got a couple other hands up.
Yeah.
We've got 804-305. Go ahead, you're live on the air.
Hey, how you doing? This is James talking out of Virginia. I was listening here. My phone has been going in and out. I guess what I'm looking for is just wondering, determine the spiritual garden, such as faith, which I'm looking at spiritualism as a form of faith. How do you kind of determine that? Because, you know, God is a general term, and there's so many other theologies, there's so many things out there. How do you really determine which one is a good fit for you, and how do you research it or get a blueprint to determine whether or not that's really accurate or is that really the right one for you when you have so many other things in life influencing you to make the right decision?
That's an excellent question. That's an excellent question.
Well, you want to take a shot at that, Henrietta?
I mean, you can go first if you want.
Okay, hey, well, I'm willing to go.
Go ahead,
Lenar. Miss Lenar, you know, the first thing that popped into my head is check it out. Check
mm-hmm.
whatever it is out and see if it produces the result for me that I want to produce. And in my spiritual sojourn, which I am still on, I have come across many, many things. And some things worked and gave me the results I wanted, and some things didn't. And over time, I found that I've gone back to some things, I don't know if this has occurred for you, that weren't working for me in my 20s, that may not work for me in my 60s. So it just depends, I think, on what it is the result that I'm looking to get at whatever point in life I am, and all the other things that I bring to the pot, to the mix, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And the thing that came up for me was I would take a look at what I believe. You know, that is always a good place to start. It's like, what do I really believe about God? What do I believe about the universe? You know, what are my beliefs? And write them down. And then after you write them down, look at the list again to see if this is really what you believe, or is this what you were taught to believe? Because oftentimes our beliefs are our tradition. You know, there are things we believe it because somebody told us that we respect, and we believe that to be true. And as that may have been true for the person who taught us, it might not be true for us. So I would make a list of what I believe about God, what I believe about this universe, or what I believe about life, and then take a second look and go down that list and see if these are indeed my beliefs, or are they somebody else's beliefs. And after I get that list, then I would inquire, okay, where can I find out more about this? You know, and one of the ways to find out is simply to ask. You know, ask the universe, ask God, how do I find out more about you in this particular way? Because whatever you're seeking is also seeking you, whatever it is. And all you really have to do is ask. And you may inquire, you know, people that you know who might be in different theologies or different organizations or things like that, and then you can just dig deeper into what you believe to be so.
Well, those are absolutely some great answers, and I'm going to take a different approach to answer your question. And what we look at when we're looking at organic gardens, we're looking at, well, what kind of space do you need? So you're looking at, what, you know, what are your requirements? Do you have the whole backyard? Do you have a window garden? Do you have some pots that you're going to do? And then you look at, well, what would work in those particular environments? What would work best for a window garden? What would work best for pots? What would you work best for an entire backyard? And then you begin to design it appropriate to what it is that, you know, what the match is for you. So, you know, as the lady said, you know, it's really an exploration. It's some research, and it's trial and error, and tracking the results. You know, so you want to stay with something for a period of time so that you can determine, has it been able to produce the results that you're consistent with what you were looking for, what your expectation was. You know, I'll look at a particular kind of tomato and determine for the space that I have and for the time that I've spent growing it, is it going to produce the output, enough output, that is worth my time and effort? And, you know, so commercial garden is no different, I say, you know, because you get to look and you get to see and you get to test and you get to make changes. So hopefully that answers your question.
It sounds pretty good, but I guess I'm looking for something a little more specific, because it's all of my things I'm looking for. I think the answers are great. They're a little general. I guess the question is that for those who have shared, let's say, spoken on the phone, what is specifically are your faiths in the spiritual garden, and is there one faith that can give me all of that versus dipping and dabbing to 10 or 15 different ones? Because, I mean, let's face it, there's a lot out there. You know, you got your Hinduism, your Judaism, your Christianity, you know, your Buddhism. I mean, you got a lot out there that's very confusing. So I guess, is there a faith that can have all of those in one little big package?
I say there is. You know, my suggestion would be new thought. Because new thought, which is like a denomination, you know, it's like a denomination of all of the different religions kind of put together, it encompasses a lot, you know, like a lot of different religions. And there's like a new thought of everything, of every religion. So that's what I would suggest. Because what that allows for is for you to study about these different areas of your life and see what works for you. And it's called new thought. And in under new thought, there's a lot of different, you know, there's new thought is kind of the umbrella for a lot of different things. Christianity is a part of it. There's new thought, Judaism, Hinduism, and there's also religious science or spiritual, it's called Spiritual Living Center now rather than religious science. But the approach to religion is scientific, is psychological, it's theoretical. You know, it's kind of all of those things in one. That would be my suggestion, to look up new thought. And you can actually Google it. Or we can email each other, and I can tell you, I can share more about it with you.
So thanks a lot for all your help. It's been a great insight.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I appreciate everything that y'all are doing, and I thank you for your time. And pray that everybody's life will be well and successful.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. This is the International Black Summer Talk Show Network, and we're coming to you every Sunday from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard, and we'd love to have these kind of conversations to look at what's possible, to see, you know, where folks are at, and to explore what's next. Because it's about expansion, you know, expanding ourselves, each other, our community, and the world, you know. Very good. Jerry? Okay. We'll come back to Jerry in a second. We've got about 5 minutes left of showtime, and I just wanted to kind of check in. Lenar, anything else that you'd like to share with us tonight? It's, you know, so great to have you on the show.
No, I'm complete. Well, yes, there is. Yesterday we were at a summit there, and Henrietta was there. And so really I came on the show to see if she was going to share anything about what she shared at our summit there. And I was watching clothes and got on the show late. So I'm just happy to say that based on what Henrietta shared, Trigger and Be With What Is are working at the summit. And, you know, I invite anyone who's listening who says, well, what do you mean by trigger? And what is Be With What Is? Then join some of our future shows or go to our website or, you know, talk with email Glenn or Henrietta or however you guys do that or go to the oxygen room and ask them about it. Ask Henrietta about trigger and Be With What Is. What is it? That's all I want to say. And thank you for asking, Glenn.
You're welcome. And why don't you take a minute or so to talk a little bit about what this, you know, what the summit shared is and how the one that you attended was like.
Okay, great. So what a summit share is an opportunity for people who have participated over the years in the International Black Summit, and that would be over the past 21 years. And it's also an opportunity for new people to find out about the summit and to actually engage in conversations which will, what we say the purpose is, provide whoever shows up an opportunity to bring into being their vision. And it's more like an opportunity to uncover those conversations that keep us stuck such that our vision, our gift to the world, isn't present in the world right now. So the share that we had yesterday, you know, it was really very interesting because I had sent out an email inviting people to participate in an inquiry that I've been engaged in that showed up at last month's summit share, which was, okay, who was I such that, or who was I being such that the Declaration of the International Black Summit had to be written? Specifically, who was I that, you know, black people had to say we stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our communities, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. So who was I being such that that had to be written? And more importantly, given that I've been participating in International Black Summit for like 20 years or so, who am I now such that ideal or vision has not realized itself in the world, like in a huge way?
Right.
And so that was very confronting. It was even confronting to me while I was writing it and thinking about it. So what was so interesting, I received a comment on Facebook by somebody whose opinion I really value, and I was like, oh, my gosh, maybe I shouldn't be trying to have this conversation at a summit share. And I am so grateful that I stood for, I spoke my truth, number one, and I listened to what and shared what life gave me to share, because everybody doesn't see it the same way, which is great. And after I shared the declaration, because I was the one who did that, Claudia, our moderator, asked, so what did you hear in the declaration that spoke to you? And the first person who answered, who hasn't even been to a summit yet, said that same paragraph, what I just said to you about we stand for, she said that's what spoke to her. Not a part of it, not one sentence of it, the entire thing. And I was like, thank you. Thank you. That's my confirmation that it's time for the conversation to be had. So was that enough?
Excellent. Well, no, yeah, that was great. I mean, what I want to leave our listeners with is that these are the kinds of conversations we engage as people of Black African descent. We look to engage and encourage the growth of our spiritual, physical, and mental garden. We look to cultivate the conversation that's going to impact our community. And how do we, and where do we start? We start by the person in your underwear right now.
The other thing, Glenn, is the gentleman who asked, like, that question, I changed my answer and would ask him to go to the Declaration of the International Black Summit. Because that's a place to start when you are seeking truth, your truth. Go to the Declaration. So if you go to blacksummit.org, the Declaration of the International Black Summit is there, and you can read it over and over and over again. You can reach me at transformativetalk@gmail.com, all one word, or email me through the summit website, or call the show, you know, next week. Every Sunday we are here, and we can have a conversation about, you know, I stand for the expression of my spirituality, and your spirituality is your spirituality, you know. So, but that's another show. It is time.
It sure is. The gentleman out there, your mic is on. If you'd like to leave any information with us right now, or it's up to you, and you don't have to. Okay. Well, we're gonna wrap up for now. This is International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and we are here to have conversations to empower and expand who we are in our community, who you are in your community, and the difference that you're making and we're making in all communities around the world. So thank you for being here. Thank you for the possibility that you're standing for. I want to thank all of the hosts and our guests tonight for participating and engaging in this conversation. We love you. We respect you and look forward to any conversations to move this conversation forward. Henrietta, anything for you?
No, I'm complete. Just, you know, I hope we hear from the gentleman again, you know. So
okay.
Please call the show anytime, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And thank you, Lana.
Absolutely. Good. My pleasure.
Anything else for you, Lana?
Yeah, I just want to say trigger, trigger, trigger.
And that is one of the distinctions of the International Black Summit. So if you want to find out about that, come on back and we'll talk about that.
Right. Look, and there will be a lot of that in the month of October as we talk about the presidency.
Yeah, because actually I started my Yo Mama letter to President Obama. I haven't sent it anywhere, but I have it written already.
Okay. All
well,
right.
On that note, thank you and good night. We love you. Take care. Peace and blessings. Ciao.